The grating was locked tight and the pit was secure.
How did you find out that they were gone?
A bankfold slave named Droop told me. He said he was Skellrag's spy.
Badrang toyed with a lethal-looking dagger, tapping it against his teeth.
He may be useful to us. Have him brought to my longhouse tomorrow. Make sure none of the other slaves know.
A cry rang up from the shore.
Badrang! Mule messmate! Singo! Have you had enough?
Is that you, Clog Miarty?
The tyrant smiled thinly as he slipped back into the old Corsair language.
I'm the one who'll be asking you that question. I've burned your ship, stoved in your boats, and left you with naught but the sea behind you, and me with me fortress and me horde in front of you. What do you say to that?
Captain Clog's irrepressible laughter rang out of the darkness.
But you're a few beats short. My bully slew a good number of yours, and I've got your old messmate Skellrag, trussed up like a fowl, ready for the pot. Oh, and some of your darling little slaves have escaped. Do you know that?
Badrang tapped the dagger against his teeth before he replied.
Out with it, Tremon. What do you want?
A truce, and a parley with me old one-time shipmate.
Oh, there's a change of tune for you. Why should I parley with the likes of you, you great platted sea swab?
Because if you don't, I'll lay long siege to your great palace. It don't cost nothing to camp right here on your doorstep and fish your waters and plunder your fields. Me and me buckos ain't going no place. I could keep a war going until you're dim in the eye, long in the seasons and white in the beard. Then you won't get no fancy empire built. And sooner or later, your odd'll starve. So be a good cove and parley with me.
Badrang considered the offer for a moment.
Give me until morning to think about it, Tremon. Meanwhiles, how about you returning Skellrag as a sign of good faith?
Ha 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 ha! You always was a canny one, matey. So be it then. Open your gates and we'll let the fox go.
Now it was Badrang's turn to chuckle.
The gates stay shut and locked. You ain't gonna get them open with a battering ram or a fox. I'll have some of me beasts let down a basket on a rope, and we'll hoist Skellrag in with that.
Ho ho! Ain't you the suspicious one? And me coming here in all good faith. Right, old mate, we'll play your little game. Boggs, Grouch, loose the fox and point him onwards. Good night, ye, Badrang, and may the sunny seasons hover round your bunk.
Badrang sheathed his dagger.
And good night to you, Tremon. May the gentle breezes always fill your sails with the scent of southern roses.
An hour later, Badrang had Skellrag on the torture rack, extracting information from him. Bromanfeldo got on all fours and kissed the damp sand several times. It was sweet to be on land, whether damp or dry. The Squiddle took stock of their position.
I know exactly where we are, Brome. You see all this charcoal on the tide line?
Brome's paws crunched on the stuff as he bent in the darkness and picked up a piece.
It's burnt wood, half waterlogged. Wonder where it's from?
Feldo pointed out into the bay.
Right there, mate, where the Corsair ship burned and sank. Over yon hills lies Fortress Marshank, so we'd best go quietly.
Brom grasped Feldo's paw firmly.
Where you go, I go, mate. By the way, where are we going?
To Noonvale, eventually. But first, we must look for our friends. We'll find somewhere to hide up for a bit and dry out. Then we'll see if we can lay our paws on some food. We can't do a thing until it's light, except rest and eat.
They walked south across the beach toward the cliffs. Brom chattered incessantly.
Rest and eat. That sounds like a good idea. I'll bet an acorn to an eggshell. That's exactly what Rose and Martin are doing right now, lying back and feeding their faces. Grum will be doing the cooking. Next to my mama, he's the best cook in Noonvale. Once he starts stirring stew or soup with that little ladle he always carries. It smells so good. Why, I'll even bet that he's found some...
Hush, Brome! What's that sound?
The Squiddle had clamped a swift paw across his garrulous young friend's mouth. Both creatures stood stock still. Listening, the sound carried on the night breeze. Instruments were playing, and some beast was singing. Brome pointed to a faint glow emanating from a crevice in the cliff face. When they were closer, the friends both bellied down and crawled the rest of the way cautiously. It was a type of lean-to tent, erected between a two-wheeled wagon and some rocks. A fire glimmered, throwing the creatures inside into grotesque silhouetted shadows against the canvas. Brome and Feldo lay in the darkness, listening to the song.
Oh, hear the rambling rosy players, and we please both old and young. All fields serene and forest green, our praises have been sung. We're the rambling rosy players, and we'll take on any part. Bring a tear to your eye to make you cry, or joy to the saddest heart. Though the road be tough, and the patch run rough, and the weather be cold or grey, with a smile and a song we'll travel along. Oh, rambling rosy way, hey!
A heavy voice boomed out as the song finished.
No, no, Balor, you're supposed to catch Celandine as the last line is sung. You did it far too early, and she wasn't there to take the fan from Gouchy. It's not good enough. Let's try it again from the beginning. One, two. Oh, we are the rump. Balor, will you stop eating that pasty and take up your position? Here, give me that confounded thing. You've had quite enough.
A half-eaten mushroom pasty was flung from the lean-to and struck Feldo squarely between his ears. The pasty was followed by a hare, who dived on it, jumping on Feldo's head in the process.
Bad form, that, chucking a chap's supper about, Rowan. Hey there, there's a belly squirrel here, trying to use my pasty as a hat.
Confusion followed. Brome leaped on the hare, trying to wrestle him off Feldo. The squirrel was hanging gamely onto the hare's whiskers, trying to avoid the long flailing legs. Mice, a mole, and two squirrels came pouring out of the lean-to, tripping and falling into the confusion of paws, legs, ears, and tails. Pandemonium reigned as the jumble of creatures squeaked, grunted, and howled. Feldo was a seasoned fighter. Scrambling from under the others, he climbed to the top of the heap, about to set his teeth into the tail of whoever was headlocking Brome.
Here, what's all this about? Come out of it this instant!
Feldo was swung aloft by a massive paw to find himself staring into the stern dark eyes of a big old female badger. She growled fiercely at him.
Clump those lips and put those teeth out of sight, otherwise I'll do a bit of biting, and I've got bigger teeth than you.
With her other paw, the badger cuffed out, sending creatures rolling this way and that. Catching sight of Brome, she hoisted him high off the ground in her other paw and shook him.
Behave yourself, you little wretch! What's your names, both of you, and what are you doing hanging round our camp?
Feldo reached between his ears, disentangling a bit of pasty. He tasted it and nodded approvingly.
Mushroom pasty. Wait, don't tell me. It's been fried with spring onion gravy. Very nice.
The hare picked up the remains of the pasty from the ground. Wiping it off, he ate it, speaking through mouthfuls.
If you wanted some of our tucker, old lad, you should knock on the wagon and ask politely what, instead of sneaking round.
Brome waggled his paws indignantly from his position in the air.
We weren't sneaking around. We saw your firelight and heard you singing, so we came over to investigate. Oh, by the way, I'm Brome, only son of Arunvo, and this is Feldo, late of Marshank. Hello.
The badger set them gently down as the hare made a very elegant leg.
Pleased to meet you, I'm sure. Allow me to introduce us. We, sirs, are the Rambling Rosehip Players. I am Balor de Quincewold, actor and tragedian. My large friend here is Roanoke. She is our cart puller, props mistress, and principal baritoness. The two young squirrel maids there are Trefoil and Celandine, soubrettes, sopranos, and acrobats. The mole Buckler is our juvenile lead, comedian, and catcher. The two mouse maids, Gouchy and Caston, are balancers, chorus and general company cooks. There you have it, my friends. Would you like supper?
Brome pulled at his slack belt.
Indeed we would, sir. My backbone was just talking to my stomach about food. They tend to stick together when I'm hungry.
The hare nodded admiringly, his floppy ears waving to and fro.
Well said, young fella. A creature of infinite jest, what?
Inside the lean-to, it was snug and warm after the stiff night breeze on the shore. The Rambling Rosehip Company were kindness itself to Feldo and Brome. They were giving cloths to dry off the sea-damp fare as they sat around the fire, sipping carrot and celery broth from scallop shells. Roanoke brought out two tunics similar to the ones the rest of the Rosehips wore, quartered gold and crimson, with a green border and black tie belt.
Here, you'd best put these on, though I'll have to let yours out a touch when I've time, Feldo. You're quite a sturdy sort for a squirrel.
Celandine stroked Feldo's strong, bushy tail.
I'll say you are.
Feldo coughed nervously and accepted a hot mushroom pasty from Buckler. The friendly mole passed Brome a sizable wedge of pie.
Your maester, onion blackberry. Spec you like summat sweet.
The young mouse took a bite and rolled his eyes.
Do I ever. Sweet things are good for the voice, you know.
Gouchy was nibbling an apple and a carrot together.
Are they? I never knew that. I only eat apple and carrot myself. Do you think much, Brome?
Without warning, Brome let forth a swift yodel with his piercing tenor voice.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la! Do I indeed? Try and stop me, Gouchy.
Balor picked up a small hair accordion and tuned it.
Good for you, young fella. Do you know the Bobbler Riddle song?
You play it and I'll sing it.
Balor played the introduction and Brome began singing, with Roanoke providing a fine baritone harmony line. It was so catchy that the entire company, even Feldo, clapped the paws in time with the lively melody.
Bobble-o, 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 if you know, tell me where I do grow. High above the lowly earth, and yet I flourish for all I'm worth. Bobble-o, 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 tell me now if you think you know. I hang between the earth and sky, green or brown as the seasons pass by, as around me all the birds do fly, and just before winter away go I. Bobble-o, 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 oh, tell me true, I'd like you to try.
There was long applause, and Brome had his back patted so heartily it began to ache.
Excellent! Top hole, young'un!
You've got a fine voice, Sir Brome.
Oh, it was the best I've ever heard. You never missed a beat.
Well done. I wish we had a tenor who could sing half as good.
Feldo scratched his head.
What was it?
Brome took a bite of his pie.
What was what? The thing in the riddle song. Green, brown, growing in the sky and then flying away before winter with the birds. What was it?
Balor nodded towards Brome.
That's for the singer to tell, old lad.
Brome winked at Feldo.
What else could it be but the leaf?
Roanoke sat down between the two friends.
Now tell me about yourselves. Where are you from? And how did you come to this place?
Outside, the wind whistled across the bleak northeast sea. The rain had stopped, and a quarter moon showed between the scudding night cloud formations, throwing down a moving pattern of dark and silver across the shore. Snug in the crevice of the lowering cliffs, the company crouched in their makeshift tent. Inside the lean-to, Feldo and Brome sat around the fire, eating and drinking as they related their story to the newfound friends they had made, the Rambling Rosehip Players.